But we'll have a government emergency. And of course, I want to. Are you ready?
Afternoon to pay honor, tribute to a loyal son of the university, graduate of the class of 1947, and for the past 9 years, university engineer and director of physical plant and campus planning. And already, in a brief time since his passing, the chilling shock of death is, I think, being replaced by the warmth of remembrance. This has been an exceptionally active, busy week on campus. Regents meetings, many faculty committee meetings, student meetings, many visitors to the campus. And I think in almost every discussion, Ben was a part. I know he was at the board meeting. Almost every topic that we brought up, comment was, well, Ben thought this, or here was Ben's idea. Ben was planning to work it out this way. And I think we all in those meetings realized how intimate a part of the work of the university Ben had become. How really important he was to all of our decision making. This was particularly true, I think, in our administrative council, where he met with the vice presidents and the comptroller and university relations and dean of students, where he was always able to bring up the realistic view if we wandered too far out into the wild blue yonder. He was an invaluable person on that council. I think he was in every aspect of the university's life. We incline to remember all of the good that he did. Until I think as I walk across the campus that truly this is Ben's hill. Ben was enthusiastically inspired with Alaska, his engineering profession, and the University of Alaska. Thus, it was inevitable that he should play a key role during a key period on the administrative team that continues to develop our state university. As director of the physical plant and campus planning, Ben, with the help of his competent staff, operated and maintained the facilities that are so essential to the successful educational accomplishment of students and faculty. Daily problems that occur on any expanding campus, and those compounded by weather environments of snow and frigid temperatures, were handled in a practical manner with an attitude of, let's get the show on the road. Of lasting significance are the facilities that were financed, constructed, and planned during Ben's tenure of office from April of 1957 to the present. Completed during this period were units costing at least $50 million, and these encompass the majority of the major buildings and facilities on the campus today. Included are Wickersham Hall, Stevens Hall, Lathrop Hall, Scarland Hall, the new men's dormitory, the warehouse and service center, Harwood Hall, Walsh Hall, faculty housing unit, University Commons, the West Ridge Complex, the heating plant, the Patty Building, the Bunnell Building, Duckring Building, the Forestry Building, fire station, parking facilities, roads and utilities, and the remodeling of a number of other existing buildings. Vision, foresight, and creative thinking are essential in planning an excellent educational facility for future generations of men and women. Ben, working with his colleagues and consultants, displayed these qualities by having a number of other facilities on the drawing board, including a new dining facility as a part of the Scarland Hall complex, the Library and Fine Arts facility, facilities for the Anchorage Regional Center, the Geophysical Institute, facilities in southeastern Alaska for community colleges. Always conscious of increasing construction costs, Ben wanted to build now, and thus had projections for additional higher educational facilities throughout the state of Alaska. Ben's spirit and his imaginative planning are embodied in the blueprint of our expanding university campus. He will be long remembered by those who knew him and will be greatly appreciated by the thousands of future students who are yet to attend the University of Alaska. The fine golden threads of respect and love that are interwoven into the strong cord of friendship existed between Ben and his many acquaintances, friends, and colleagues. An example of such a friendship was displayed by Dr. Howard Cutler, former academic vice president of the University of Alaska and a close colleague of Ben for the past 4 years. When he traveled here from New York City to pay respect, said Dr. Cutler,
Ben Atkinson's way of life was positive and direct and had a disarming simplicity. There's the good guys and the bad guys, the generals and the privates, the boss and the worker. One has to know when it's his turn to be boss and when not. But there's only one big boss, Ben would say, and that's God, and don't forget it. Ben's orientation was to the eternal present. He worked hard at the task at hand and played hard. He admonished, when it's your turn to pick up the ball and run, Buster, you better do it, or you'll soon find yourself warming the bench. Another favorite was his easy smile and clinching argument. I never knew a reasonable man who didn't agree with me. One of his most revealing dictums, which he used to bolster me, and I think himself, when faced with a not too pleasant decision, was, if you're going to be a bear, you better be a grizzly. This is revealing, for it suggests what lay behind the direct and apparent simplicity. Ben had simpatico. His identification with the student was so strong that he felt personally involved in each episode. He worked hard at reconciling his work responsibilities and the student's antics. He devoted his energy to building an environment most optimum for them and was always a little frustrated and sometimes hurt by a student's act that seemed unappreciative if it were not destructive. Dr. Cutler concludes, Ben believed in going first class. That's why I like Alaska, he said. Here, everything is first class. The best moose hunting, the best fishing, the best challenges, the best people. This is my home. Ben Atkinson will exemplify, for many of us, the living embodiment of hard-working, hard-playing, direct and sympathetic philosophy, first class.
Thank you. President Wood, Dean Bankline, ladies and gentlemen. Ben Atkinson was born February 9, 1917 in La Porte, Indiana, where he grew up and finished high school in 1935. The Great Depression was at its worst, and Ben, like most youth of that era, was on his own as far as making his way in the world was concerned. During his high school years, he made spending money and helped his family. He was the eldest of six children, by trapping muskrat in a nearby wood and selling the skins for 25 cents each. After high school graduation, he was one of the lucky young men of the area to find work with Alice Chalmers, a factory making farm equipment. Ben stayed with the company 4 years and became an expert mechanic. In 1939, seeing no future in factory work, Ben and his longtime friend, Vince Magnuson, decided to head out to the wide open spaces. Fairbanks, Alaska appeared to fit that description, and the two young men arrived by truck from Valdez on July 21st. Their first job was painting the interior concrete walls of the main school on Cushman Street. That job finished, they were hired by the Alaska Railroad, but an expected appropriation failed to materialize, and that job ended in 9 days. Next, they harvested potatoes for a week. The working season was just about over, and the prospects for winter jobs in those days were few and far between. Vince Magnuson recalls that one day he and Ben were in Martin Pinsker's store and sought the advice of the salesman, Bob Claus. Bob, an ex-student, advised them that the cheapest way to spend the winter in Fairbanks was to enroll at the University of Alaska. The two men walked out the university to investigate, but even $55 a month for room and board was pretty steep for their financial condition. In a talk with Dr. Bunnell, he offered the use of a cabin located on one of his properties, the Borden Ranch, 2 miles north of the campus, free of charge. He granted them permission to use any of the fallen timber on the property for fuel. Finally, he said that he'd see about arranging for part-time jobs. That cinched the deal, and Ben and Vince enrolled as freshmen in engineering. The part-time jobs paid 50 cents an hour under the National Youth Administration program. They labeled and cataloged artifacts from St. Lawrence Island under the direction of Professor Louis Giddings. I first met Ben in the summer of 1941, when the U.S. Corps of Engineers was making a frantic, all-out effort to construct Elmendorf Air Force Base and have it reasonably operational in one short construction season. The call went out for engineers and engineering aid, and the Civil Engineering Department of the university, faculty and students, were recruited almost en masse. Professors Huff, Campbell, and Dawson, and a dozen upperclassmen arrived in Anchorage the day after commencement. Among them was Ben Atkinson. Already on the job at Elmendorf was university graduate Woodrow Johansen. I'd been teaching in Anchorage for 4 years, and even I was recruited to help with the survey duties. and with Ben and Herman Porter, joined the survey crew of Woody Johansen. It was a memorable summer. We worked hard and we became known as the Can-Do Crew, drawing the roughest, but nevertheless, most interesting survey jobs. We laid out railroad spurs, hair strips, buildings, sewer lines, and even a dam site back in the Chugach Mountains. Ben was a hard worker and learned quickly. By the end of the summer, he headed a survey crew of his own. The following year, Johansen and I joined the faculty, and Ben joined the Army. An advanced ROT student, when he was called up, Ben served in Africa, Europe, and South Pacific as an infantry sergeant. When the war ended, Ben returned to the campus and in 1947 completed his Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering. Most of his upper division courses he took from his former party chief, Professor Johansen, and from Dean William Elmer Guthrie. The years following his graduation were busy ones for Ben. He worked as an engineer for Arctic Contractors on the Dew Line, as an independent consultant for a time, and as an assistant construction superintendent for Puget Sound Drake. In 1957, he succeeded Richard Russell as university engineer, a job for which he was eminently well qualified. A list of the buildings and projects completed under his supervision reads like a complete campus inventory. In addition to the building program, the maintenance and security phases of campus operation were under his direction. The many heavy responsibilities and vexing problems which almost daily confronted him required not only professional engineering competence, but administrative acumen of high order. He filled the position with distinction. Each of us, I am sure, has his own personal memories of Ben, his humor, his forthrightness, his tremendous energy, and his impatience at anything less than a first-rate job. Ben's interests were wide-ranged. One of his several hobbies was photography. Not many of the present campus population know that the excellent portrait of Dean Duffering, which hangs in the hallway of the Duffering Building, was taken by Ben Atkinson when he was a student taking pictures for the 1947 Denali. Ben enjoyed music. He played the violin in his younger years, taught himself to play the accordion during the several years he spent in the Arctic, and more recently he bought and learned to play a Hammond chord organ. His interests extended from civic and community activities to camping, fishing, and hunting. But in recent years, his main interest was the university. To Ben, the university was more than just a physical plant to build, operate, and maintain. It was a big part of his life, and into each of his projects went an extra measure of devotion. This was his alma mater. This was his life's work. Graduates of this, such as Ben Atkinson, cause all of us who attended this university to stand a little taller, a little prouder, because he was one of us. We, the alumni of the university, take justifiable pride in his accomplishments, even as we mourn his loss. To his wife, Helen, my fellow alumnus, to his young son, Jimmy, his mother, and his other relatives, we extend our deepest sympathy.
Thank you. Diminished by the loss of Ben